Look, up on the slopes. What is that? Well, it looks like a pair of cross-country skiers going downhill. No, it must be some alpine skiers with broken bindings. Wait, on closer inspection, it's...
those mountain bike and frisbee golf guys.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Those Tally Guys, the penultimate episode, I think, and we're in the Land Cruiser studio heading towards the main range, and I'm joined by Morgan Clark as always. How are you, good sir?
I'm good, thanks, Rich. Just trying to concentrate on the road here, but I can do more than one thing at a time. Now, the Rusted On listeners would note that in the early days of Those Tally Guys, I used to actually sit in the Land Cruiser during the pandemic years of 2020 with my ghetto makeshift recording studio, but now we're actually recording somewhat of an episode in my Land Cruiser while we are driving up to Charlotte Pass in New South Wales from Jindabyne.
Yes, and it's very, very exciting. In the intro there, you might have heard us have a little joke there and a change to those mountain bike guys or even those ultimate frisbee or frisbee golf guys, because we've come to Jindabyne with a booking from a long time ago to potentially ski, but it hasn't been that way, has it, Morgs?
No, it's been a winter to forget, I think, in many respects, but mainly due to the snow conditions. It's been pretty disheartening at times, and yeah, it really just all went south, as we've probably discussed on the show many a time, from about, pretty much, you know, sometime in August on, it was looking pretty dire, but... we're still going to head up to somewhere around Mount Twynham and have a bit of a poke around. We've had a bit of intel, and we've been inspired by some other people's social media footage that, there is something out there still to be had.
Yeah, and it's very exciting. But the last few days we have been on the Treadleys, spending some time on the single track around Jindabyne, which has been great. Getting kicked off some single track as well, might I add, by the local rangers. Yeah. Tried to get on the Threadbow Valley track, which is apparently closed.
And yeah, closed to bikes only.
Closed to bikes only, sorry. Yeah. So it was a bit confusing.
Yeah, so we tried to actually get off and walk our bikes and said, will you let us through if we just walk them? But they still said no.
Yeah. No dice. But so we filled the time with some frisbee golf as well, which has been delightful. Yeah. But yeah, obviously not skiing as much as we would have liked, but we are heading up for one last hurrah based on some great intel from Andy Blair and some others. It looks like there's still some snow kicking about. It doesn't look like it had a frost, so we're expecting it to maybe be a little bit slow, but nonetheless, it'll be nice to check out a new area.
Yes, and the bases of my brand new skis were looking a little bit white, so they could be ultra slow today, but yeah, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yes, we have, of course, ducked into Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, into Kumar there, to check out Rhythm Snow Sports, and wow, what a surprise, Morgs, because online it didn't say they had any 184 Ultra Vector BCs left, but I had in my hot little hand yesterday morning the last pair remaining.
Yes, and you called me up. I was still over here in Jindabyne. You and Cole had snuck over with your infant son to rock him to sleep in the back of the van. And alas, there was one pair of Ultra Vectors in that 184 centimetre length. And as soon as I heard that, I knew I had a big decision to make.
And it looks like you made the right decision, because I'm currently cradling the new Ultra Vectors in my lap. As we don't have any roof racks on the cruiser to accommodate skis, and they look beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Not the new graphics that Volley have just released.
We do have roof racks, but I just was too lazy to put the skis on the roof.
Yes, that's right. But they look beautiful with the Outlaws on them as well, so keen to see what you think of that.
Funny story with the Outlaws as well. When I said, okay, I'll buy the Ultra Vectors, I went back into the store after mulling it over at lunch in the park. And the lady there, Morven was her name actually, and she was a telemarketer. She was the one helping me out. I said, okay, I'll take the Ultra Vectors, please. She's like, what would you like on them? I said, I'd like Outlaw X's in size large. And she's like, oh, actually, I don't know if we have any size larges left. And I thought, No, maybe the website could be wrong again, because it said that they had size large Outlaws on the website. She went out the back and checked, and she came back holding a box. And I was like, great, we're in business here. And she's like, oh no, the box is empty. so I was like, oh dear. But anyway, she's like, maybe the last pair of Outlaw Larges. That's probably going to be a bit loud. Maybe the last pair of large Outlaw Xs are going to be the display ones in the store. So, you know how they bolt the bindings onto like a little wooden plank and then hang it on the wall. She went over to one section, like the cross-country telemark section. She came back with one pair of Outlaws, sat them on the bench. Then she wandered off to the other side of the store and came back with another pair of large, well, not another, another large Outlaw on the wooden plank. So they were both on display.
Oh, wow.
They've probably had, you know, kids fiddling with them and mucking around with them and doing all sorts of things. But anyway, they're on my skis now. And I snagged the last pair of 184 Ultra Vectors and the last pair of large Outlaws in the store.
Wow, a true dodo setup. It's amazing.
Yeah, for a great discount as well. So thank you, Rhythm.
Yeah, Rhythm Snow Sports really doing us a solid there, and great value, of course. I brought some new leashes, but that's all I splurged my money on. Could have easily bought some other things, but had my wise wife there to inform me that I already had six pairs of whatever I was trying to buy, so decided to leave it. But here we are, just a bit of a live update, heading up the Perisher Road. No doubt we'll go past the park's entry soon, but it's going to be a great day, Morgs. And what we're going to do, we're going to hopefully get out and get some laps in. We'll see what those like, and we'll just have a chat about it at the end of the episode. We'll be back in the car and we'll report to the dear listeners about what we found out there.
Yeah, we will. We'll give a bit of insight into what the rolling ground was like, and you know, some hopefully sharing some good turns with some good friends out in the backcountry.
Yeah, looking forward to meeting up with a few buddies up there, which is just going to be a good way to end the season, I suppose, and the second last episode of those Tally Guys for the season. So quite exciting, and thank you for all that's joined on. And I apologise for the last few weeks. I've been a bit behind the eight ball getting episodes out, so you'll actually probably hear two episodes this week if you're listening straight away, or you at least see them pop up in your feed there. Trying to catch up as best I can. It's just been a bit hard.
Yep. And the listeners would know that we've discussed this before, that it has been very hard to stay motivated with the season going the way it was. And I hope that people would understand when, you know, obviously we want to get the content out there, but also it is, when we're spending more time, you know, running and riding bikes and, you know, playing backyard cricket, it's hard to keep the skiing podcast going.
That's right. Yeah. As I said in one episode a few weeks ago, the motivation for the podcast relies on the snow depth as well. And as it melts and finds its way into the streams, our motivation certainly flows downhill as well. But here we are anyway, keeping people up to date about what we're doing. And just speaking of updates, Morgs, you might just have a quick update for our, I guess, listeners from North America and other parts overseas. I guess Perisher had their last day on Monday.
Yeah,
they were the last resort.
They were the last resort in Australia.
Yeah, yep. And everyone else kind of folded before that. But yeah, Falls Creek, I think, was the second last, and then Hotham, Buller, and Thredbo kind of packed it in a little bit earlier than that. But kudos to them. They've done an extraordinary job to stay open as long as they have, pushing snow from all sorts of places to keep our on-piste skiers happy.
Yeah, they have. The resorts, like you say, they do a lot of early season groundwork, you might call it, to farm the snow into the right places so that it sticks around in the resort. But, if you're a backcountry enthusiast, this year was not your year, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah. Look, I'm glad I got those day trips up Bogong. We did three in total, I suppose. And that last one finishing on the fresh snow was fantastic. But I went up there with work last Friday, and those hairdryer winds have absolutely cooked it. It's amazing how quickly it's gone. And here we are coming up to the park entry gate. I'll get your thoughts on that in a moment, Morgs, as we cruise up to Pei.
Good morning.
Hello there.
How are you going?
Good. What are we up to?
We are going skiing. We are going to walk out from Charlotte Pass.
Right. So you just didn't park for today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just for today. Yeah.
Thank you for not laughing at us.
Thank you for not laughing at us when we said
we were going skiing. Yeah.
Well, still a lot of snow in the backcountry.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
we'll get a little sticker.
You don't have to battle the crowds.
That's right. Yeah.
You've used this before?
Yes, we have.
Stick that on the windscreen, driver's side.
Thank you.
That's it. Just stick it down on either side.
Thank you.
That's all good. Enjoy your day. You got a nice day for it.
Yeah. Should be beautiful.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
And thanks to Gabrielle there.
I thought she was going to tell us that we were mad for going out, but she was confident, so that's good.
Plenty of snow in the backcountry, she said, and that's the report that we've seen from other skiers sending in their pics. But, yeah, just getting back to what I was mentioning before about Bogong, it looks like the Victorian backcountry scene, while there is still a few laps in Kangalla you can sneak, the snow line is certainly receding quite fast, so definitely not as long as they were a few weeks ago, Morgs.
Yeah, yep. And that photo that you snapped of Bogong last week while you were working, that was a pretty grim sight to behold.
Yeah. And it is a bit alarming, and no doubt we'll touch on this in the season wrap-up or the final episode for the season about peak snow depths and stuff like that. But, yeah, a season like this does remind you of the alarming trend that is going on with the Australian winter seasons. But anyway, we're focusing on optimism today. We're heading up the hill. We're hopefully going to get a few laps, whether they be premium corn or just sludge. We'll see.
But porridge.
Porridge. It's going to be nice to get out for a stroll.
Yep, it will be great. Let's have a great day.
All right. Well, we'll keep you informed. We'll check in throughout the day, possibly, but definitely at the end of the day when we're jumping back in the cruiser, heading down the hill. See you later. Okay, well, just a quick update here, Morgs. We're just passing Perish. We've been past Smiggins Holes, of course, and golly, I don't know how they were operating on Monday. It's just an absolute crime scene looking at the front valley there.
Yep, there's a very thin and brown patch of snow on the skiers' left of Perisher Front Valley, but I mean, it makes you wonder what was happening here on Monday. I mean, it must have just been, you get on the chair, you go up to the mid station and get off, and then ski down. But yeah, it does not look pretty.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, great to be sliding on skis, but it's truth. I mean, I would have come up for a barbecue and a few sausages, and the novelty would have been fantastic, which I'm guessing a lot of people were doing. But golly, yeah, this is obviously our first time to Perisher, and because apparently even the Leichhardt was operating, and I can just look over there now. And
first time this season, you mean?
Yeah, this season, yep. Yeah. And there's the Leichhardt chair over there. And
oh, you can see their little strip coming down to the Leichhardt chair. Yeah. I'm not sure what run that is, but it's not the run that directly comes under the lift line. It sort of goes around, and it's like a bit of a cat track almost from Mount Perisher across to the Leichhardt chair. Yeah, because they're the two Mount Perisher chairs just there.
Yep. Anyway, well done, Perisher, for operating as long as you have. That's insane. And for anyone else listening overseas, we usually go to at least the end of September, which we're not too far away now.
But you'd expect way more coverage.
Far more coverage. Yeah. This time last year, you know, I skied all the way out to Nelson from Falls Creek without any issues at all, and had huge snow depth still, especially on the southern aspects where snow had blown in. So, yeah, it's just one of those years, unfortunately. But anyway, onwards and upwards, we're on the Shards Pass Road, which is great to be able to drive. It opened a week or so ago, I think. So it'd be interesting to see how busy it is up here in the backcountry. And we got our first glimpse, Morgs, didn't we, coming up the road? We could just see...
Yeah, I'm not sure what mountain that was, but it had great coverage on the southern face.
Yeah, so pretty excited to get out there and get some laps in. So we'll keep you updated as things progress.
Yes.
Well, golly, Morgs, we didn't know what we were in for, but what a day.
Yep, a fantastic day in the sun and the clouds on the main range. Lots of walking involved, but also lots of time just cruising around on the skis, on the Patton Bay skis, and it was a fantastic outing.
Yeah, absolutely. We've headed out towards the Club Lake area, which we're new to us. We hadn't been out there before, and it was super cool to drop a line down towards Club Lake in some very steep terrain.
Yeah,
definitely got the sphincter tight, but it was absolutely fantastic to get a clean run down there, and then a couple off Mount Lee as well before heading home. And wow, it's just amazing, the terrain, isn't it? And geez, I'm looking forward to next season already.
Yeah, like it. Even now, we're just driving past. We're in between Perisher and Charlotte Pass, and there's pole lines out, and you could just imagine what this area would look like entirely covered by snow. I have done a couple of winter backcountry trips up here in the main range, but it has been a while. But yeah, you're right. Like, just so much terrain. Like, there's plenty of terrain on the Bogong High Plains in Victoria, but there's just an absolute bounty of skiable terrain, rolling terrain, and lots of steep skiable lines. Plenty of, you know, plenty of stuff for everyone out here in New South Wales. It's really good.
Yeah, and again, planning for next season, it was great to see some of this terrain and you know, pick some lines that I'd like to ski. You know, it didn't have snow on it today, but there's some stuff out there that I'm really looking forward to coming back.
Where were you thinking?
And hitting. Well, I need to look at the map and learn the names of it all. But, you know, out toward Little Austria, that looked pretty cool out there. Didn't have a lot of snow on it today, and probably too far to get just for today. But, yeah, that stuff around Club Lake and Mount Lee, there's plenty there that'd be good to come back. You know, it's always interesting. You need to familiarise yourself with the terrain to really get to know it, and I felt like we've started that journey into the main range.
Yeah, yep. It is, and it is a committing trip over from where we live in Victoria, even though it's really not that far away. Like, it's probably, you know, almost, we're probably closer than if you lived in Sydney or Melbourne, but you know, it is still a bit of a hike to get over here. But yeah, so much skiing to be had. Those lines that we had off Mount Lee today, such a great long sustained run. Like, just, I think actually I was chatting to a random cross-country skier. I sort of ducked off and diverted onto a different section of the trail because I had my shoes with me while you and a few of the others that we were with went to collect your sneakers from behind a boulder where you'd left them. And I met this cross-country skier, and he was sort of chatting to me. He was busting a couple of telly turns, sort of leather boots and gaiters sort of set up, but you know, he was throwing it down. Had some volley releasable bindings on, which was cool to see.
Very good.
But he said, he'd asked where we'd skied, and I said, oh, we were at Mount Lee. And he said, oh, I think that's the place that they tried to break the like the ski speed record, because it's just that long straight run down the spur.
What, someone just straight lined it?
Someone
off
just straight lined it down there, trying to break like some sort of speed record. We'll have to look it up when we get back to the chalet, but yeah, he was certain that it was Mount Lee.
Goodness me.
Yeah,
that sounds preposterous. I was happy to put as many turns in there. I did have my axle binding go into tour mode on the second run down there, which is probably my own fault, because sometimes ice and snow can build up underneath there and force it into tour mode again. So did have to practice a bit of a self-rest, which was nice. You don't often throw yourself in those situations, but yeah, managed to do that fine. But lucky it was right at the top, and yeah, managed to stop. But yeah, anyway, they were great runs. And geez, it's just so much terrain, as you said. And again, we're looking forward to coming back. But today, geez, wasn't it the Volley Ultravector BC crew?
Yeah, it was the Volley fan club today. I really felt part of it for once. You know, I've always been, you know, secretly jealous of your Ultravectors, Rich, and I don't know, lots of other people have them, I suppose. Lucas has his V6 BC varieties. But yeah, it was great to really be a part of the clan. Everyone had the similar looking skis, although Lewis had the slightly older edition of the Ultravector, so he's looked a little bit different. But I mean, just seamless transitions from skiing down the bottom to then, okay, just flick it into tour mode, loosen off the boots, and away you go.
Yeah, so you enjoyed your day out, first day on the Ultravectors?
Yeah, like I see what you mean, and I fully expected this. You know, you can't just pin it straight up the steepest face like you could if you had full-length skins on, but that's fine. I mean, I was actually I was surprised. I actually thought, you know, there were sections where I was going up where it was quite steep and I had the large heel riser on the Outlaw, and I thought, okay, it might start slipping a bit here, but I mean, it was like working perfectly. And that could be attributed partly to the fact that the snow was quite sticky, so it was actually really slow to ski down and quite good to ski up.
Yeah. It was good touring conditions today, and yeah, with the right pitch, the skiing was certainly fantastic.
But yeah, we really had to find the steeper slopes to actually make the sort of skiing work, didn't we? Because if you skied down a section where it wasn't really steep, you weren't really going anywhere in a hurry.
Yeah, but you didn't put skins on today, did you?
No, I didn't.
And neither did I.
I'm just watching the small lady drive that yellow car at 10Ks an hour.
Certainly did a lot of traversing, like going back out Mount Lee. It's, I don't know, it's more to prove a point, isn't it? You can get up without it, but probably not the quickest climb.
Yeah, going up Mount Lee, that's, I mean, and we would probably, in a little way, our hands were tied because of the snow cover. Like, it was mainly on the face of Mount Lee, so there weren't really too many options for getting up and around and taking longer routes to get up there because there was not as much snow on the nearby faces.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, it's good that you're part of the pattern-based crowd and you're in the pattern-based paradise. And it's just a side note, like, the popularity of those skis in the last 12 months, they're just everywhere. I just see them everywhere now.
Like, well, I was thinking about how many people you've personally yourself convinced to buy the Ultra Vector BCs. I mean, the list must be long. Kelly and, well, Lewis must have had his for longer than you because he's got older ones, does he?
Yes, Lewis has had his for a while, yeah. I guess everything stems from him, really.
Yeah, he's the wizard.
He's the wizard, the Volley rep of Australia. Unofficial, of course. As we're driving back through the Perisher village now, and not a lot of snow down here, but no. Tell you what, for anyone that's looking for a bit of a backcountry tour, there's still some options over the next few weeks. It seemed like pretty good coverage where there was snow, so you'd be able to get a few more turns in if you're quick enough.
Yeah, and just, I guess, before we move on to anything else, one last thought on the Volley Ultra Vectors or any sort of pattern-based ski that's similar to that. If anyone's thinking that they would like to do backcountry skiing, particularly in Australia, I mean, you have to get a pair. They're so good.
He's convinced one day, first day, actually.
I was convinced after about 5 metres, I think, Rich.
You were, yeah. I remember you saying, geez, this is so good not having the skins on.
I didn't, well, it's like that was just one component of it. I was like, wow, the skis feel a whole lot lighter without the skins on. Mm-hmm. But also just, the only time I took my boots out of my bindings was when we sat down on the grass for lunch. Otherwise, I just left my skis on the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely. In the right conditions, you can certainly climb a lot of steep stuff. But yeah, as a caveat, we should say that on boilerplate ice, you'll be putting skins and probably actually crampons on.
If it's boilerplate, you're just going to boot pack, aren't you?
Yeah, and why you're even there when it's boilerplate, that's my opinion. But yeah, I'm glad you really like them. It's good to see. It's the new uplift for next season.
It is, and it's gonna change the focus of next season, I think, as we had alluded to in the previous episode or a couple of episodes ago, where we talked about, is it worth buying a season pass? I mean, now that I have committed to dropping down the moolah for these Ultra Vector BCs, I'm gonna be, thinking about just getting out there and just, doing some nice tours out on the high plains. Like, it's gonna be great fun, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully next season there's plenty of days where the conditions are this primo to do that. Because, if it's a repeat of this year, we had that long period of just hard ice where it wasn't ideal to get out of the backcountry at all.
It was, like I think I said this morning when we were driving up, it really has been a dud year if you're looking at it through a backcountry lens. Because all through June and July, we were like, oh, yeah, could we go up Bogong? No, it's absolutely wind-blown boilerplate.
Yeah.
And then you get to August and, oh, no, it's melting.
Yeah, didn't leave a huge window. Yeah. But the windows of opportunity that we have had, we've made the most of it, and it's been great. As an example, like today, it was fantastic to head out there for the first time.
And just the added, extra component of just wading through, like, thigh-deep water in the snowy river as you, you know, enter and exit Charlotte Pass. Like, that's just another little fun adventure type thing. We had some funny conversations with some punters down at the river as well.
Yeah, as we came back to finish our day crossing the snowy river once more, plenty of tobogganists out.
Yeah, there was actually a kid going headfirst on a boogie board. It wasn't even a toboggan down one of the
surf
ski slopes. Yeah,
yeah. Well, good to see some people out and about still enjoying the snow. And, you know, it's absolutely free now, other than obviously paying for the park, New South Wales pass.
Yeah, it didn't cost too much, though, the park, New South Wales pass.
Yeah.
Compared to paying resort entry in Victoria, much cheaper.
Yeah, personally, I think it's a better system, but anywho, Victoria has its rules and it probably isn't going to change those in the near future.
No, you wouldn't have thought so.
Just a quick shout out, Morgs, to the crew today. Great to ski with Lewis, Kelly, James and Jono as well. A great crew and probably a nice group of skiers to finish my last day of skiing, I think. I don't think I'll be pulling the planks back out again this season.
Yeah, it was a great crew. Like you said, it's always nice to have, you know, good friends out there and people that are of a similar fitness level to you. Always makes the day run a bit smoother, and you know, everyone was in fine form as we were cruising around the rolling ground.
Yeah, absolutely, and plenty of good banter and good discussions about all sorts of things, winter and, you know, backcountry skiing related, including one disturbing topic. I won't name the store, but one of the skiers today who was trying to buy Bolle backcountry pattern based skis did inquire at a local store in the northeast and were told that it was a waste of time. Like, it's not worth buying those skis because apparently they just fall apart. So, yeah. I mean, that's a bit disturbing. I think they might be the next candidate for a bit of a prank call, Morgs.
Yeah, they could be. Look out next season. but yes, you know, obviously as huge advocates for Vole, we hate to see their name dragged through the mud. But yeah, obviously we wouldn't want to defame anyone on this year podcast. But,
no, not at all.
But yeah, very interesting and puzzling to hear those sort of stories that people have in their
I guess it's important to always get a second opinion, I guess. And, you know, there's a lot of stores out there that would probably have a lot of influence over people's decision making. So if you've got the time, it's always worth going somewhere else to see what they think as well. Well, it's been a great day, Morgs.
A fantastic day.
And very much looking forward to wrapping up the season next week in the last episode.
Yes, yeah, the final... Wait, what is it? Where are we at now? The 27th of September. So, yeah, the final episode next week.
Yes, and the listeners will have hopefully already listened to the interview with Greg Hill and then this one that I've hopefully uploaded very quickly to make up for lost time.
Yes.
And thanks for being patient, anyone out there. But yes, very much looking forward to next week, wrapping up the season, having a laugh and reflecting on the season that was in more detail.
Yes, yep. Yeah, we'll have a few little tidbits in store for the season finale, as always, and maybe even a few Tim Tam slams with Port, but I'll go around again.
It's a throwback to that. Yeah. Yes, anyone remembers that episode?
Yep. Oof. Yeah, well done, Rich, as always, and yeah, another great day freeing the heel.
Absolutely, and it's lovely to have got another day in the backcountry with you, mate, in a new area as well.
Yeah, so, yep, as always.
I was very, very happy. Very happy indeed. All right, that's us all wrapped up now, I think.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Those Telly Guys hope you have enjoyed this program. We'd love to hear from you. Please get in touch at thosetellyguys@gmail.com. If you enjoyed this show, please subscribe for more fun episodes. Otherwise, you can find us on Instagram. Thank you.